Ladies and gentlemen, we present a radio program in English.
I feel that I am speaking to friends and companions.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin.
And now, on London Taxi Radio, it's the Mick the Brit broadcast with Mick the Brit, broadcasting from a secret location south of the river. And here's your host,
Mick the Brit.
Oh, thank you so much.
Hello and welcome to the Mick the Brit broadcast, and this will be the last in the series for a while whilst I take a break. So make the most of it. It's kind of Groundhog Day doing this for me, and indeed I have to say this last week, the demonstrations, same crap, different day. And guess what? It's going to be the same Monday, Wednesday and Friday. Unless, of course, we get some movement with what's happening. And yes, I'm also a bit... I've also got the ump, really, with more of this. That's the Cab Drivers Collective. Yeah, like herding a bunch of cats. Very independent, aren't they? And so without any more to do, let's get on with it. Day one, week four. This is diary of a demo. I'm at the moment standing sort of opposite Westminster Abbey, just before you get into Parliament Square. Eerily quiet. I'm looking at a square banged out with taxi cabs all the way around it. And all the approaches to Parliament Square, Whitehall, westbound, Westminster Bridge, northbound, or westbound, technically, because the bridge actually crosses the river going in an east-west direction, rather than north-south. We always seem to think of bridges going over rivers as north-south, but that's not the case. Especially when it comes to the meanderings of the River Thames. Just in the background here, you can hear people walking by. And yes, very quiet, subdued. The police allowing cabs to join, but cabs only, because they've closed the roads off leading into Parliament Square. In the background, you might be able to hear the strains of a violin. Trying to sound cheerful with a violin, it doesn't always work, does it? Anyway, if there's any more news to convey about the demo, I shall. This is Mick the Brit for the Mick the Brit broadcast. Day one, week four of the continuous industrial action. It's now 5 minutes to four. Not too much to report, really. I did, as I mooched about in a very quiet Parliament Square, where the weather stayed dry with broken cloud, bit of sunshine, not much. The mood somewhat quiet. However, you're beginning to hear us now, and so are the people in the gasworks next to me here, as we disband from Parliament Square on day one, week four of our demonstrations. I did hear that somebody gave a leaflet, which we've been giving out to the public, to the Sky newspaper reviewer Kevin Maguire. Sometimes you hear him on LBC, you see him on TV doing the newspaper review with Andrew Pearce. He was very interested when it was pointed out that Sadiq Khan and what he was going to do as a Labour man. And Kevin Maguire took the leaflet and he said he would also give it to the rest of his team there at the Daily Mirror. So, engine on now, as we now disband from day one, week four of the ongoing demos. Mick the Brit, Bridge Street, Westminster. Thank you. And just as I'm entering Parliament Square, just opposite the entrance to the Houses of Parliament, just going past the statue of Churchill, you can hear the cabs. And I can also see Jim Thomas being interviewed for TV with what's going on. Hopefully it'll be on the news later on, no doubt, tonight. Was day one, week four of the demos in Parliament Square. Also, a great interview now coming up with Sean Paul Day and David Curtin of the London Assembly. And this is how it went.
I'm here with David Curtin. This is just after the demonstration has finished in Whitehall. Now, this is not the first time you've been up here.
No.
It does seem that they're growing in strength, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I was amazed today. I mean, Parliament Square is a beautiful place to have a demonstration. I wish you didn't have to do it, but the whole square was packed up and the roads off, you know, like Whitehall and down the embankment as well. There's so many people out supporting this this demo today. And, you know, I do understand why. I asked Sadiq Khan in the chamber last week, and probably a lot of you have seen what his answer was when I said, you know, is your plan for 80% journeys, you know, in the future by walking, cycling and public transport, does it include taxis? He says no. Just says no, just like that.
Well, it was the only question he seemed to be very decisive on.
Yeah,
because he seemed to avoid every other question.
I mean, he does. I find that a lot with him. I ask him some questions and he either sidesteps the questions and then answers with some kind of piece of sarcasm or, you know, some trying to patronising put down. And he thinks it makes him look good, but actually it just makes him look bad, to be honest. Yeah. I don't care. But, you know, he just shows him up. He doesn't have an answer. You know, if he had an answer as how to run London well, I'd be happy. But he doesn't seem to have any answers as to how to run London, to run London's police, to run London's transport system, and then just comes out with these sarcastic comments.
But the thing is with us, I think we have a problem because the pollution stats that he came out with, I mean, they've been debunked by the researcher. Mm. And so a lot of these policies that were brought in against the cab trade, we don't feel that they're being brought in on a genuine basis.
No, not at all.
And,
I think.
But there's something that, because everybody's got to get on the environment issue, and if you're not on it, you're against it, effectively. It's a massive issue, isn't it? So we feel as if we've got the biggest fight of our life.
It's basically just an issue of common sense. He's all for putting in these cycle superhighways. London is not never going to be a cycling paradise. It's not like Amsterdam. It's not like Berlin. Yeah. It's the most densely populated city in Europe, particularly inner London. It's just common sense. You cannot narrow the road space for vehicles and have a hugely expanding population of 100,000 plus a year and cut congestion at the same time. Yeah, you can't do all three things at the same time, but no matter how many times I make this point, he's just kind of stuck. He's in a computer says no mode. He just doesn't get it. He has a chauffeur driven car, which I'm sure is very nice to drive around, but if you actually just a normal person, you suffer and you see your journey times getting longer, speeds on the road are getting slower and slower. I think there was London is now officially, you know, one of the most the top five gridlock cities in the world. Was the average speed is down to 5 or 6 miles an hour, central London. It's going down and down and down. So anyone who needs to use the roads, anyone who needs a taxi, needs a bus, emergency vehicles, service vehicles, they just aren't going anywhere. And there are all these kind of blocks that you have on cut throughs, like Judge Street, for example, the north of Judge Street. You can't turn onto that from Euston Road now. It's obviously going to make journeys longer. So
who's going to get a taxi? Because quite often, most of the people that get in a cab is because they're late.
Mm.
And so you've got the most direct route through, which is about efficiency, isn't it?
Yeah.
So if they make us inefficient and you're taking a more costly,
yeah,
time inefficient route, because you're forced all the way around something, who's going to get a taxi? And it does seem like it's a bit engineered against us.
Yeah.
And not done with the public opinion, which has been firmly on our side, got to say, and it's growing. So, I mean, if they're not obliging the consultations, what do we do? And I know you probably think you said about us demonstrating and wish we didn't have to do it, but they're not listening to us.
They're not listening. I mean, he's elected. There are elections in 2020, May 2020. Sometimes the only way to get politicians to act is to scare them to death that they're going to lose the election, they're going to lose power, and then they act. You know, this is what we were trying to do with Brexit, which is a completely different issue. Obviously, I support Brexit. We're trying to, you know, scare the people in Parliament. They're going to lose their seats if they don't vote for it. We need to do the same to Sadiq Khan. We need to do the same to the people in power in London and also in the boroughs as well, who are making these decisions, which are bad and are just changing things, but making life more difficult for every ordinary person who needs to use the roads.
I don't know what we do about it, because if the boroughs are obliging the mayor's policy, and there's everywhere's got to become like a mini Holland without taking into consideration where all the traffic's going to go, and not using evidence like the cycle superhighway and the problems that causes, it seems like they've just got total reign to do what they like.
Well, it seems, you know, CS11, the one going up through the A41 through Swiss Scottish, that's been stopped, and Westminster Council were behind that, as far as I know. You know, making this sort of application to the High Court and the Appeal Court, that's stopped. So there is, it is possible to stop it,
but it takes people to do that, doesn't it? Because an injunction was put on it. How do you feel? Because I know you, as a member of the London Assembly, I mean, he treats you with disdain. He treats you with such contempt. He doesn't even have to turn up if he doesn't want to. And you just think, how does that make you feel that he talks to you like that? Because I saw the way he was talking to you last week.
You know, it's very, very frustrating being on the London Assembly, because I'm elected, I represent the people who voted for you, I do my best, but it doesn't have that much hard power.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a legislative body like the Welsh Assembly. I mean, basically, the mayor has complete power over the transport system and the Metropolitan Police. We just hold into account and answer questions, but we don't do any sort of voting. We vote on motions, they don't have any sort of hard power. They the mayor can just turn around and say, okay, well, you voted for this, but I'm just going to do what I want anyway. Yeah. He doesn't have to take them into account or even obey them. So that's quite frustrating.
On Tooley Street, when that was put out to consultation, there was one question, and it said, do you agree with the layout? Now, I agreed with the layout. I was just disputing who was included in the, who was able to use that layout. But that's a question. If you said, yes, I agree with the layout, you are, by default, excluding taxis. And isn't there something a bit, you know, untoward, a bit unjust by not making it explicit?
I just think of that. The word you said just brought thought into my mind. You said exclude it.
Yeah.
And, you know, one thing the mayor goes on about all the time is inclusion.
Yes.
And if you exclude taxi drivers from Tooley Street, from Tottenham Court Road and places like that, you're excluding wheelchair users who need to use taxis from being able to access those roads, particularly if they're going to a hospital, to a doctor's surgery or something. So, you know, I think one argument which you can make that they might actually listen to is you need to include wheelchair users and disabled people who need a taxi. Otherwise, they won't be able to go into those roads.
Well, there's a lot more infirm people as well, isn't there?
Indeed, yeah.
It's a funny position, because they're trying to put us in a situation where they determine who's got a disability. When you drop them at a distance away, they say, well, they can walk. Well, they're not to know they can walk or anything like that. But I find that there's a... What do we do? Is there anything we could do about those consultations that are so weighted that actually you don't even realise what you're responding to?
The thing is, you know, the way that they're done, I mean, I don't blame people, but people for being cynical about the political process, because it seems to work in much of the time, is that someone makes a decision and, you know, they're legally obliged to have a consultation. They do the consultation, but it's just going through the motions. And then whatever anybody says and in the responses, they just go and do what they want to do anyway. And I have asked him about Tooley Street twice now in the chamber. Hopefully that will be, you know, that might be something that doesn't normally happen. I'll put your concerns, you know, taxis need to go eastbound into Tooley Street. Because I've done that twice, he may come back and decide, okay, well, I will let taxis do that. I mean, last week he said, well, we're still looking at the results of the consultation.
Well, they've looked
We shall see. Yeah. We shall see.
But that's just one isolated road. I mean, it's going to go everywhere, isn't
it?
Because it's like they've declassified us to being private transport. Now, if we're not public transport, we're firmly private transport, and they don't want private cars on the road, do they? And I think that's why these demonstrations are so sustained and can only be sustained, because it's either what, there is no in between. It's got to be one or the other.
But at the same time, you've got like 113,000 Uber drivers or more.
I know.
You know, the numbers of taxis are going down. They've gone down from 23,000 to 21,000. Numbers of Uber drivers are going up. They keep on licensing more Uber cars, minicabs, private hire vehicles. I mean, so the whole thing really doesn't make much sense.
Now, they're working very inefficiently, being what they claim of about £1 billion in the red TfL. So doesn't this make Uber a very valuable source of revenue if they pay the congestion charge now?
Well, he's bringing that in for private hire vehicles, and he thinks he's going to get, I don't know the actual figure, it's something like 30 million, I think, off the top of
my head. 30 million.
30 million a year or something, which, to be honest, it's a drop in the ocean compared to the money they've lost on Crossrail. And, you know, that's why there is such a big black hole in TfL at the moment.
But the cab trade is only worth about £4 plus. So doesn't that make them a valuable partner to TfL if they're paying,
it's not just being a financial net plus. You're part of the city, you're part of the heritage, you're part of a history. You know, I mean, you can lose Uber, you know, it's not part of London's history, but we can't lose the cab trade.
Well,
you are a vital part of London.
Thanks, David. Well, that's it. Good note to finish on, isn't it? That's David Cunn. 2 years in a row, they can use the top. What's the top room called at City Hall?
It's the London Living Room.
The London Living Room. And it's beautiful, panoramic view across London. 2 years running, David has the initiative, because you could get to use it once or twice a year, don't you? Use it for black cabs, invited drivers and driver advocates and stakeholders and groups along to get something going with the black cab trade. So big up, David and the UKIP for calling that, because it is great. I mean, TfL didn't turn up at the last one. It was about the knowledge. So it was that's very disappointing. That's something on the knowledge, and now to get something going, some energy going.
We did leave
for
a chair for them, but there was nobody there.
I think they got a bit hounded.
Empty chair.
There was a bit hounded the year before, wasn't that?
It was a little bit harsh the year before.
So there you go. I mean, it could choose anything, but he chooses the black cab trade 2 years in a row. So that's worth remembering when it comes to putting your tick in the box, is it? All right, Dave.
Aye,
brilliant.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Great. Cheers.
Great. Thank you.
I'm not a politician. I'm a businessman with a sense of history, and I'm also a Londoner. Today is a day of great historical significance for London, proven with nerve, knowledge, and expertise. That is why you are all here today.
Well done to Sean Paul Day. Thank you, David Curson. And breaking news after the London Assembly meeting with the Mayor of London, where David Curtin said, what's happened to the £42 million that you set aside for London taxi drivers to update their cabs as part of the scrappage scheme? Today, it has appeared again. That's right. £42 million has miraculously reappeared for taxi drivers to take advantage of updating their taxi cabs and the scrappage scheme. Well done, David Curtin. two lady cab drivers.
I'm not, I'm just a...
Oh, you're not? You're a friend, are you?
Yeah,
a...
I'm just a mate.
Got ya.
There you go, that's me.
I'm just a mate.
Are you going to follow?
Now I am.
Good, nice. And your name is?
Vicky.
Vicky.
Yes, you'll see, what's my handle?
My handle, oh.
Vicky Lady Cabby.
Oh, yes. You're an ex-CBer as well, because you use the word handle. And that's what CB radio people used to do.
So, we found one once as a kid and we had a little go.
Do you listen to London Taxi Radio?
I will do now.
Oh, and please check out the Mick the Brit broadcast.
Broadcast.
Because we'll get you on there.
Oh, I'm laughing in one of them. That's the one I don't want to send to
These are my fantastic photographs that I took.
Fantastic.
You were doing glamour photographs on a London taxi cab. Brilliant.
I sent all of them, I think so.
Thank you, darling.
And you rent with Sherbert as well, do you?
No.
Oh.
Sudbury.
Sudbury. Hmm.
He's in the same gaff.
Oh, right, okay.
I think Sherbert are moving, aren't they?
I've heard rumours, but who knows? So how many of these Parliament Square demos have you been out for?
Last week I got on the end of one, because yes. I've got a job down here, and then I see it.
Yes.
And then
done.
Monday I was here.
Yeah. Yes, Monday, yeah. Oh, that was a lot here for Monday. Today is Wednesday.
I shall be here Friday.
Day two of the demos for this week. And Friday's day three, yes.
Yeah.
You'll be here then as well. Although, I don't know about you, Vicky and friend.
Hannah. Yes.
Hannah. Vicky and Hannah. I don't know about you, but does the mood seem somewhat subdued?
Today it is, yeah. It was a bit more upbeat, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think it Monday. Should be a lot more annoying.
Where's the man with the drum?
Oh, drum slayer, yes.
He walked through, didn't he? And that was it. We got told off because of the horses the other day.
The horses?
Yeah, someone sent
turned up with a horse.
Tweeting about the horses round here. I was like, what?
No.
What, frightening them?
Yeah.
They're used to football.
Right down there, aren't
they? They're used to football crowds, aren't they?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you was... just supposing if you was organising things, what would your next bit of strategy be, perhaps?
Burn some tyres.
Yeah, burn some tyres. Oh, like the French.
Get some orange vests on.
Yeah. But the French were known for beheading people as well, weren't they?
Yeah.
We don't go quite that far, do we? No, that's where we're at. Vive la France. Right, OK.
Is there football tonight then?
Yes, there is. They're Borussia Dortmund. They're playing Tottenham Hotspur at Wembley.
Oh.
Yeah, European Cup stuff. They're plugged up in a pub around the corner. So I'm going to go and have a word with them. See if Brexit is driving him mad on the news like it is us here.
I've
on the news,
the
day in, day out.
Killed her aunt. She hasn't above her head for ages.
Ladies, thank you ever so much.
See you later.
I'm glad you... Oh, you're welcome, Hannah.
Are you going to mention us on the radio?
Yes, I will.
Excellent.
All right, so you'll hear Mick the Brit broadcast.
Okay. I'll
all right.
Listen out for you.
Bless you. Thank you, Vicky.
No
thank
problem.
You, Hannah.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yes, thank you very much to Vicky and Hannah, two lady cab drivers that I saw sitting on the bonnet of the cab. And, they were taking a selfie, so I thought, yes, time for Mick the Brit. Chap, charming, honest, attentive and presentable to step in and take photographs, glamour shots of them on the cab, sprawled across the cab. They're quite good photographs, actually, even if I say so myself. I got them to pose and, yeah. Because in a previous life, I used to be an assistant to a professional photographer. So you kind of pick up bits and bits. Well, that was my story. But they always seem to go for it. Maybe I was, maybe I weren't, but it all worked out very well. So yeah, I did. I was actually quite bored at Wednesday's demo, to be honest with you. And I just walked about and people looked at me and I looked at them. And when I just wanted to get interviews with them, some of them shied away because they've done it before. So I went back to the pub where the Borussia Dortmund supporters were. And, well, fortunately for me, their English was better than my German. And their age, late 20s. So I asked them if the coverage of Brexit like it's on the TV here all the time. Was it on their TVs and in their media? And they said, yes, all the time. I said, well, what have you got to be worried about? You'll, even after we leave, you'll still have 26 of your other mates there in the EU. But they said, no, no, we're worried. What will happen after? Which I thought was quite interesting. So then I explained to them that, well, I don't think the one-size-fits-all strategy of the EU works for 27 different countries and 27 different languages, etc. They kind of agreed, because human nature doesn't allow for it, and that's why you've got the French and the Germans being very dominant with it. And as I said, in the EU, we are just one of 27 or 28 voices. And I explained to them where, how it started with the common market, you know, a common agricultural and fishery policy that's now morphed into its own flag, its own national anthem, its Supreme Court can overrule your Supreme Court, its own currency. So where's it going to go in the future? And that's why I voted leave. Enough already. And also this week, news came out that Nigel Farage has started the Brexit Party. So I am going to be seriously looking into that to become an activist for them, perhaps. However, I did say that if the EU decided to revert back to what it was originally set up as, a common agricultural and fishery policy where we all kind of share in each other's wealth in terms of goods and products, what we can bring to the table, I'd sign up to that in a heartbeat. I really would. I think a lot of Brits would. It would be in our best interest. So, like I did with the French a couple of weeks ago, where at the French show at Olympia, where I went along to reassure them that everything will be all right, we will still be your friends and neighbours. And likewise, I said that to the Germans as well. All right.
Okay, so we're just leaving now. We're just disbanding on the second day of the 3 day action on the fourth week, and I'm here with
Mickey.
Yeah. Go on, tell us, Mickey. Just, what's happened? Where's we going as we're leaving?
We've had Alan Duncan come out and supported us, who was ex-cabinet minister. We've had three lords come out, give us their support. So we're getting a little bit of support at the moment from the house.
Yeah, excellent. Nice, good work, Mickey. Thank you. And I'm just making my way back to my cab in Broad Sanctuary, just in front of Story's Gate. Our goodbye to our politicians as we head away. Giving my thoughts today, day two, week four, Parliament Square. Weather was nice. Yes, the demo, if you deem the success of a demo as to, well, everybody joined it, Parliament Square, but the police, there were certain places they were stopping access to get to Parliament Square, including from the Millbank, including at first from Great Peter Street into the Millbank,
which I tried, and then I tried Victoria Street going into Broad Sanctuary. So then you could see that at the time I was looking there and there was no police even by the barriers, so the barriers were just there. So I drove up and around and got into Storey's Gate and then approached it, Broad Sanctuary, from there. Well, now, when I got there, there were two police officers and they did let me join. And so I was the second but last cab in Broad Sanctuary, and that was it. I got out my cab, the sun was shining, and went for a mooch. And I have to say, it did seem quiet, and the mood, in my opinion, somewhat subdued. It was like Groundhog Day. It was like same shit, different day. And I'm just wondering now, personally, how long that can last for before, and it's not so much me, but other cab drivers, before they start looking for some sort of tangible result, some sort of movement in the direction that we need to go in. That's my feeling on it. And even when I approached people to speak, it was like, oh, you again. Because they've done it before in so many different demos. I don't know whether we need to be more vociferous. I don't know whether... Well, seeing as we're there at Parliament, should we have been really getting in and with the MPs, civil servants, shall we say, assistants, researchers, and just saying, do you think we're... buses go, taxis should go. Well, maybe we need to do a two-pronged attack, as well as Parliament Square. Let's ramp it up and perhaps do one elsewhere, because these demonstrations are certainly oversubscribed. And what I mean by that is you've got Parliament Square banged out with cabs, and there are cabs that can't get there because all the approach roads are banged out with cabs. Now, that overflow could be utilised elsewhere. So that maybe is what they'll think about in the future. I don't know. But it's kind of, we're back like to the days of the Second World War. I remember my mum telling me and my grandparents telling me that, you know, they said, oh, don't worry, it'll be over by Christmas. Well, it went on for another 5 years. And it was only good bits of news that we were inflicting damage on the enemy, because we were certainly getting bombarded here in London, blitzed. You know, so that kind of lifted morale, I suppose. Not that you want that kind of carnage necessarily inflicted upon a fellow human being. I'm just talking about from a morale point of view. So, obviously, as most things in life, time will tell. But we will just have to see. But we do need some... I think we need some movement. I mean, somebody needs to make the move and say... I think from our side, and this is just me speaking out loud. Yes, I'm being one of those cats. By saying, maybe we should just give them the threat of we're going to ramp up the damage we could inflict. I'll let them think we're going to do that. And, well, that's all I have to say for it today. Wednesday, the 13th of February. We'll see what happens on Friday, and we'll see what the strategy will be Monday. So that's it. As far as the demonstrations are concerned, for day two of the three planned days of demonstrations in Parliament Square, this is Mick the Brit for the Mick the Brit broadcast.
This is Rainbow George, and I'm going to be listening to London Taxi Radio because Mick the Brit has tuned me into it.
Yeah. Further thinking about it, Parliament Square. Really, our enemy is Mike Brown of TfL and Sadiq Khan. That is where you need to apply the pressure. So, the London Assembly, anywhere that Sadiq Khan is going to be at. And, of course, we continually bombard Mike Brown. Let him know we're there. And there are strategies and ways of doing that as well. I just think that Parliament Square... Yeah, okay, we've been there, made our point. We've got a few bits of coverage in the written media, in the newspapers. But let's ramp it up, and not necessarily in Parliament Square. One more thought about that, and that is, we're now getting much more of this. That's right, cats. Getting cab drivers to go in one direction is like herding cats, because they all want to go off and do their own thing with their own opinion. And I'm now noticed posters, not saying where buses go, taxis go, but other posters saying taxis should have access to all roads. Well, yeah, but if you get us into bus lanes as part of taxi and bus strategy, then that is the way to go. There are lots of bus lanes we're not in, including in the City of London. All right, I know about Bank Junction, but we should at least be in the bus lanes in the City of London as well. So no more exclusion of taxis from bus lanes. Certainly no more of, well, yeah, you can go in the bus lane if you're electric. No, sorry. Or you can have access to certain roads only if you are only an LEVC cab. No, wrong. So let's stick, please, with the one message: where buses go, taxis go. And we'll see where we go from there. All right, that's it. There is no more. Thank you very much for downloading and listening again. If you want to get in touch with me, it's at Mick the Brit on Twitter. I am going to be taking a break now from doing this as circumstances have changed. I will be back. So this is the last in the series of this series of the Mick the Brit broadcast. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for taking the time to find us and download us. And we will be back. Until then, ta-ra.